Chapter 1. Pyres in the Night. Kena thought she might have to do some killing, so she dressed for business. In many tales, the Emperor's ghosts were always women of perilous beauty, clad in skin-tight black leather. Kena thought that ridiculous. Black leather made too much noise and reflected too much light. Instead, she wore loose black clothes, black gloves, and a black mask that concealed her face. Around her waist went a leather belt of throwing knives and other useful tools, and she secured a heavy dagger in each of her boots. Next came the cloak. Light as air and blacker than night, it was a wondrous thing. Halfdan had told her that only the ghosts knew the making of these cloaks, fused together of spider silk and captured shadows. It mingled and blurred with the shadows around her, and when she pulled up the cowl, it made her face all but invisible. Last, the ring. It was a man's signet ring, heavy and thick. She wore it on the first finger of her left hand, beneath the glove. It was old and nicked, the sigil worn smooth with use. Unlike everything else Kena carried, it could not be used as a weapon, nor did it have a practical use. But she wore it anyway. Night lay over the city of Mors Chrysius, and Kena glided from shadow to shadow. Long ago, she had been told, the city had been prosperous, built around the tomb and mortuary cult of some long-dead emperor. But the city's harbour had worn away bit by bit, and the merchant ships went instead to Rasada. Mors Chrysius had become a sleepy town of fishermen, farmers, and mortuary priests, and now only pirates and smugglers made use of its decaying harbour, along with worse people. Kena stopped and stared at Vanio's townhouse. It looked like the townhouse of 1,000 other prosperous merchants. White walls, a roof of fired red tiles, a paved courtyard ringed within a low wall. It did not look at all like a home of a man who would kidnap fellow imperial citizens and sell them as slaves. But then, appearances lied. Kena knew that well. She took a deep breath and went to it. She sprang up, caught one of the ornamental metal spikes crowning the wall, pulled herself up, and waited. The courtyard lay quiet, its flagstones worn and smooth, a fountain bubbling by the gate. One of Vanyo's watchmen strolled towards the house. He wore a studded leather jerkin, his belt heavy with sword and dagger. The watchman opened the main door and vanished into the house. No other guards emerged. Beneath the cowl and the mask, Kena's lip curled. Vanyo's security was barely adequate to keep out common thieves, let alone one of the Emperor's ghosts. No doubt Vanyo thought himself safe from the retribution his crimes had earned. Well, that might change tonight. She counted to 300, but no other watchman appeared, and she saw no signs of life from the house. Kena dropped into the courtyard, the black cloak pooling around her. A single light gleamed in one of the windows, no doubt where Vanyo's guards sat, earning their keep. She crossed the courtyard and tried the front door. It was locked, of course, and the lock was a fine one, but Kena had seen worse. She knelt, pulled some tools from her belt, and set to work. Her skill made short work of the lock. Kena pushed the door open as slowly as she could. Within, she saw a darkened atrium, the floor covered in an expensive mosaic, but heard nothing. The smell hit her at once. Kena slipped into the atrium, pulling the door closed behind her. The smell was stronger in here, thicker and heavier. For a moment, Cana thought that the house had caught fire, but she saw no smoke, no signs of panic. She had never smelled anything quite like it. It was a burnt, greasy odour, almost like fat dripping upon a fire. Or like burnt pork. Burnt pork? Were the watchmen trying to cook something? Cana shook her head and crept into the townhouse, her boots making no sound against the floor. She glanced around and noted that Vanyo had done quite well for himself. Like so many of these provincial merchants, he had done his utmost to copy the High Nymarian style. The mosaic beneath her feet showed the Emperor Chryseis triumphing over Chorazin the Ashbringer. Freestanding marble statues littered the halls, along with busts resting in niches, all copies of famous artworks in the capital. The statuary alone must cost twice what every fisherman in Mors Chryseis earned in a year, and the rare woods in the doors had come from the forests of Varia province on the other side of the Empire of Nymar. Someone like Vanyo could not make that kind of money doing something honest. Cana crept through a dining room, the gleaming table set with polished silver, and found the stairs. She had reached the landing when she heard the voices, saw the gleam of light. Cana sank into a corner, her cloak blending with the shadows, and waited. The voices came louder, and Cana realized that two men stood at the top of the stairs, one of them holding a lantern. The watchman, most likely. They were speaking in Sadaic. Fortunately, she knew the tongue.
"What in hell's name is that stink?"
"Damned if I know,"
said a second man.
"You did the last walk. Are they cooking anything?"
"It's past midnight. All of Vanya's servants are lazy dogs. You'll not see any of them out of bed before dawn."
"Something must be burning."
"I told you,"
said the first man, irritated.
"I already walked around the house. I didn't see any smoke. The house is not on fire."
"Then why is this smell getting worse?"
The first man spat.
"Must be coming from one of the inns, cooking a pig for tomorrow's stew or something. What of it? It's no concern of ours."
"The nearest inn's a half mile away. Something's burning, I tell you. Maybe we should wake old Vanyo."
"Are you mad? You know how that greedy bastard loves his sleep. Wake him now and we'll be out of work before dawn.
Do you want to go back to work on a fishing boat? Or into the legions?"
"No, we'll do nothing and that's that."
"I still think something's burning,"
said the second man.
"What if something is on fire? Do you think Vanyo'll keep us on if we let his house burn down?"
"Damn you, nothing's on fire," said the first man. "You worry worse than an old woman. But if it'll shut you up, we'll go look."
Boots clicked against the stairs. Cana flung herself backwards, rolled over the landing's railing and ducked under the massive table. She slipped a throwing knife from her belt, the blade tucked against her gloved hand to hide its gleam. Two of them. Not good. She adjusted her grip on the blade and braced herself. The watchman came down the stairs, and Cana saw that there were, in fact, three of them. The third man, older than the other two, hadn't opened his mouth. The first watchman carried a lantern, and all three wore studded leather jerkins and carried swords and daggers on their belts. For a moment, Cana thought they would see her. The watchman lifted his lantern, throwing shadows across the dining hall, and Cana remained motionless. They walked past her, and their eyes glanced over the table without alarm. Cana blinked in surprised relief. She heard them open the front door and walk into the courtyard. Apparently, they hadn't noticed the opened lock. Cana hurried up the stairs, cloak flowing behind her. The stairs opened into a narrow upstairs hallway, with two doors on the left and one on the right. She had spied out Vanio's townhouse yesterday, and knew that the left doors opened into the study and the solar, while the right door led to Vanio's bedchamber. The burnt smell was very strong up here, almost overpowering. The air almost tasted of it, even through her mask. No wonder the watchman had complained. Cana crossed the hall, listened at the study door for a moment, and swung it open. The study shared the townhouse's ostentatious opulence. The shelves held the sort of works an educated man was expected to own. Histories of the Nymarian Empire, lives of the emperors, treatises on oratory and virtue. A thin layer of dust covered most of the books, except for a trio of weighty histories in the corner. She pushed aside the books and saw the gleam of a safe built into the wall. Cana grinned, produced her tools, and got to work. The safe, like the lock on the front door, was excellent work. But Cana had seen better. After a short time, she tugged, and the door swung open. Only one thing lay in the safe, a battered merchant's ledger, worn with much use. Cana took the ledger, carried it to the window, and flipped through the pages. Her mouth tightened into a hard line. The ledger detailed Vanio's inventory of slaves. It seemed that he specialized in buying children at cut-rate prices from impoverished peasant farmers and selling them at an enormous profit to the Carthian and Alcaran merchants who dealt in such things. He also turned a substantial profit dealing in artworks, old Sadai and Kyration artifacts and the like, but the bulk of his money came from selling children. Cana closed the ledger, her hand twitching towards the knives in her belt. A short detour on her way out, a quick slash of her knife, and the villainous scum would die choking in his own blood. No, not yet. Halfdan had only wanted evidence, not blood. And the Emperor had declared slaving a crime against the Empire, and the penalty for a crime against the Empire was worse than anything Cana had time to inflict upon Vanio now. She closed the safe, replaced the books, tucked the ledger under her arm, and made for the door. She stepped into the hallway just in time to see the watchman come up the stairs. Cana froze in the doorway. For a moment, she thought the watchman wouldn't see her. They were arguing about the smell again, and none of them even glanced towards the study door.
"I'm telling you," said the man in the lead, "that damned smell is worse. Where the hell is that coming from?"
He looked around, glancing at the study door. His eyes got wide.
"Gods," he said, fumbling for his sword. "What the hell is—"
Cana stepped forward and flung a knife, her foot forward, her arm thrown back, her back arched. Her entire body snapped like a bowstring. The knife hurtled forward and buried itself in the man's throat. He fell to his knees, gagging. The other two watchmen leapt past the fallen man, yanking their swords from their scabbards. Cana threw the heavy ledger. It caught the older man in the face, and he stumbled back with a curse, bouncing off the door to Vanio's bedchamber. The last man ran at her, his sword a silvery blur. Cana stepped back and yanked the daggers from her boots. She did not want to take the man in a fair fight. She had trained with short blades for years, along with the open-handed fighting style favoured by the ghosts. She was quick and agile, but she was not a large woman, and she simply did not have the raw strength to fight toe to toe with most men. No matter, she had learned long ago that to fight fair was to lose,